Personnel matters.
I'm sorry, you got to start over. Just hit the button.
We're out of executive session now where we discuss some personnel matters with the future year. And that was the basis of our executive session.
I would like to, following the executive session, this is Harry Snyder. I would like to move that the board retain the services of the Bryan Cave Law Firm to represent our interests, and particularly attorney Kyle Flaherty of that firm, on the same financial basis that they were hired under a contract by us in the past. That's a payment of approximately $4,100 a month, with the understanding that the agreement can be terminated by either party at any time on 1 week's notice.
I'll second that motion.
Second by Howard. Any discussion of that? Then I'd ask for a vote on that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? So it's unanimous that Kyle would be retained as our attorney for the duration of the things. I'm going to turn this over to Kyle for a minute and have him explain to the people that weren't in the room before about what the main thing that we want Kyle to do. Basically, we have to develop a memorandum of understanding between the fund board and this new promotional and racing entity that's at the Racing and Wagering Board. So, Kyle, you can enlighten anyone about that, about how we're going to go about that.
Sure. Obviously, the law is new. There's not any particular guidance that exists as of yet. As far as I understand it, under the new law, there will be a new Office of Racing and Promotion and Development established, which will be under the, which will come out of the new Gaming Commission, which is supposed to be separate and independent from the Gaming Commission. The charge of the office will be to administer this fund and the Harness Fund. And so in order to do that, there will need to be some contractual arrangement whereby the funding that exists by statute that comes to this fund and also to the Harness Fund, but I'm not going to deal with the Harness Fund here, but the money that comes to this fund by statute, there needs to be some sort of a contractual arrangement whereby that money is going to be utilized and administered by the office to pay out the funds, the breeding funds, obligations and awards, et cetera. And so we will need to sit down with the Gaming Commission and negotiate a memorandum of agreement in order to facilitate that. And I understand that as counsel to the breeding fund, I'll be engaged in that. I think it's premature at this point to say anything more than that, but I think that's generally one of the things that I'll be tasked to do.
Okay. Well, that's going to be a linchpin of the fund's ability to do what we've been doing for the last 40 years going forward. We're all in kind of we're not certain of how this new thing is going to affect us. So that's the course we're going to take, is to keep Kyle on for his historical knowledge of how we operate. And he's very familiar with the laws and that's of the state on this particular issue. So that's our intention with that.
And there's one other thing I should just add while we're at it, and that is that, and this is up to you, this is up to the board, obviously, whether or not the board wants to create a small subcommittee for me to interface with as these negotiations progress.
I would think that would be a, you know, proper thing to do. I would ask that, that Jeff and Billy chair that committee, and they could, or run that committee, and would you guys willing, or Ed? Ed would do it? Ed and Jeff? Ed. All right, so we're gonna have three people. It's gonna be Jeff, Ed Kelly, and Bill Wilmot will interact with Brian Cave, with Kyle.
Okay.
Going forward on this thing. Oh, you know what? Well, let's get that later. Let's see, we have one other thing. Anybody else have anything else? Ed has something.
I think in lieu of what has transpired with the harness racing, I think we should set a limit on what Tracy can spend instead of her getting caught in a bind or something, and set a limit of what was before $5,000, and keep the board informed, and before anything's paid at all along those lines.
Okay.
Do we need that in a formal motion?
I would like to make a motion if it's in order.
So I guess the motion would be that that the executive director make no payment over $5,000 to a non-contracted entity without board approval.
I'll second that.
Call for a vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
That's basically, you know, we're just reiterating that. That is fund policy right now, but we just want everyone to know that that's still in existence. Okay, you know, we went over this.
Excuse me,
we kind of
Bill wants to say.
Bill?
On a related matter, housekeeping dispersals, which is what we're talking about now. At the moment, there are only three people who can sign checks, Tracy, me, and Harry. And as soon as the new commission takes effect, the old racing commission dissolves and Harry will be gone. So that could happen as soon as a week or 10 days from now. So I propose having another signatory, and I would suggest that we make Joe McMahon a signatory as well as Tracy and myself. Anybody want to second that?
Second.
That was seconded by John Graziano. We have a vote on that or discussion? Okay, well, I'll call for a vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed.
I'm sorry, who said who's going to be another signer?
I will be a new signer, so you can get me the cards on that. All right, so that ends that. All those things, I think we're okay on that. We skipped over a thing on item two. We had an approval of the last month's meetings, meeting minutes, and I'm sorry, I apologize to you for that, but I...
Rookie mistake.
That was a rookie mistake, I guess. Anyway, if anybody wants to, everybody has a copy of the minutes in front of them, if they want to note any inconsistencies or inaccuracies, now would be a good time to bring them up.
I haven't seen any. It's in order to make a motion that we accept the minutes of the last meeting.
Can't hear you.
Sorry.
Ed Kelly has made a motion to accept the minutes as written. You have a second?
I second that.
Jeff Canizzo seconds. Call for a vote on approval of the minutes.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? No. Okay, so that gets our minutes out of the way, the transition. Snyder. Now we have the next, we're going to skip down. We've covered 1 through 4, 1 through 5. Item 6, I'm going to ask Tracy to give us some enlightenment on this. This is the final revenue reports and the accounting issues affecting the 10% holdback.
Okay, first of all, you have a piece of paper that says legal issues that impact the annual audited financial statements.
Want to pass that off, please?
Well, it is passed out. Now, I have another copy if you want another.
It's a little one, right?
Yep, it's a little one.
Mm-hmm.
This relates to a letter we received in, I believe it was April of 2012, where NYRA agreed with the Racing and Wagering Board that for a time uncertain going back many, many years, NYRA had been overpaying the fund at the rate of 0.007 instead of 0.005 from Signal 1 and Bridge Signal 2. Bridge Signal 1. And that's this called a Zone 2 to Zone 1 payment. And that's what Sabini mentioned in our last meeting. It involves some payments from upstate to NYRA. So they've been overpaying on that to us.
Have we gotten a bill, Tracy?
No, that's what I'm getting to. We do not have a bill from them, and we haven't officially been notified of this. But because we know that hanging out there is about close to $1.2 million question mark, we don't want to have to put this as a contingent liability on our books. We would like to simply...
Why, if we haven't gotten a bill, would we have a contingent liability?
No, I'm saying we don't, but we do know about it. So in the...
Well, we don't know anything, Tracy, other than somebody verbally evidently saying this.
No, that's not quite true, because Patrick Wade gave us in writing what Racing and Wagering believes the amount is. So we want to just disclose the potential claim for the remainder in notes to the financial statements. That's just the proper accounting procedure.
I could say you owe me $10 million, and that makes it, we got to put that on our financial statement? No!
I have two, let me just interrupt. I sort of have two points to make. Number one, would this disclosure would not have an impact on the payment of holdback or anything
no.
this year, correct? Number one. That's number one. Number two, if we are going to disclose it, I'd like to see the disclosure, because the more that I've been thinking about it, it occurs to me that just because Racing and Wagering has quantified this amount, okay, or may have quantified this amount, it does not mean it's an obligation of this fund, okay, or even a potential obligation of this fund. And the rationale for that is that the mistake was made by NYRA, okay? We were a recipient in good faith of those monies. Now, it may very well be that had we known that we were paid in error, an error that NYRA committed, we would have adjusted our purse enrichment, which we had every right to do at any time. And so I'm not convinced as a legal matter that it's an obligation that anyone can quantify how much would actually be owed back, because had we been informed of this mistake that NYRA made, we had other means during that time to make adjustments and appropriate adjustments in order to reduce that liability. So I'm not convinced, now that I've, you know, understand the issue a little bit better, that this is an obligation at all. Now, NYRA may have calculated, I'm sorry, not NYRA, Racing and Wagering Board may have calculated a number, but that calculation obviously could not take into account the fact that we had other means at this board's disposal to reduce our liability that we had no opportunity to take because of NYRA's error. So if we disclose it, we need to, you know, it needs to be a properly worded disclosure, because it certainly should not be, by any stretch of the imagination, an admission that there's any liability owed.
And it would be a footnote such that the TOSCE auditors, when they come in, are aware that this is something that is out there, but the NIRA board at some point would have to decide on it, and hopefully we will make an appeal to the NIRA board that they do not ask for this payback.
Well, it's beyond that. Not that, not an appeal. I think it's stronger than that. I think it's a flat statement that this is not an obligation of the fund. For the reasons I've stated, and also for the fact that this fund is a conduit organization. We receive money in good faith. We pay it out in good faith. We can't be held liable for the mistake of NIRA when they had mispaid us in prior years.
Is it our obligation or is it the auditor's obligation to bring us something that we either accept it or don't, right?
What percentage of what? What was the total? How would we know?
Well, we haven't gotten a breakdown on that yet.
So we haven't got
on the face of this, it doesn't seem to me like this requires an action at this time. We've not been billed this. It's not something that we owe. We haven't even been notified that there was an overpayment by the people who made it. So it's my opinion, and I'm speaking for myself here. I don't see why we would have to note it anywhere.
Okay, there's a secondary part of that, which is we became aware in mid-2012 of this issue. So starting, was it June forward?
For we received an overpayment for the first quarter, and then we received a letter, and that overpayment stopped.
The amount of the overpayment in the first quarter was $154,723. So,
I would suggest that the disclosure be limited to the fact that we've been advised that NIRA paid at the wrong rate. Fact that we have not independently verified. That has come to our attention. We do not believe that we have any liability for any of those overpayments because we were a recipient in good faith. And I simply disclose it in that way.
So the $154,000, you don't think we should reserve? No, because it came in this year.
It doesn't matter. It came in for the first quarter. We paid out the first quarter's.
Yeah, but when you look at the pool of money, we look at it as a year, not what came in just first quarter and last quarter.
Only because we have the 10% holdback is the only reason that we do that. I mean, theoretically, when money comes in, it goes out. We hold back 10% so everybody gets paid evenly. So you can certainly make the case that money's long gone. Mm-hmm. If there's anything left of it, it's 10% of it. It's the holdback, and that's all.
I also believe, to my point earlier, that this could have been adjusted in if had we heard from NIRA on this issue, we could have adjusted their purse enrichment. So an argument, because that's clearly and fully at the board's discretion. Having not heard from NIRA on this issue.
Well, we did this year.
Not NIRA.
Yeah, we
Racing
did.
Racing wagering.
No, we heard from NIRA this year because they adjusted our payments later in the year.
Right.
Because the total impact on our revenue from NIRA this year was about $280,000. This $154,000 and the remainder in the rest of the year, where they demonstrated each time they would send us a payment where the payments were lowered because of this new adjustment to the lower point 005 level.
That's what it is. It's an adjustment, right? It's not saying
it was an adjustment in their revenue, yes.
Right. It's an adjustment. It's not saying we owe them anything.
And further to that point, since they did communicate with us and noted the adjustment, they didn't ask for any money back, did they?
No, they did not.
Right.
So this $154,000 was paid to the fund, earned in awards, and it has yet to be distributed or has been distributed?
It's sitting on the books. It's been reserved, waiting for a decision of the board.
I think it should be distributed based on all of the facts that Kyle presented and based on the practice that we followed in 2012 to this point.
I don't know if we ask, we have an accountant in the room, do we ask the question, is there like an accounting procedure, or is this just a board decision? Does it supersede any accounting opinion?
I don't know myself. I'd have to defer to counsel on that.
I mean, the board could always be, you know, sort of, there's no harm in having, you know, an accounting opinion provided, and the board can then make a decision based on that opinion. And so I have no problem with that.
But I think
that beyond the account, but I would like to hear the accounting opinion, having, and I think it would be good for the board to hear it. Having said that, you know, the legal point here is that the fund was a recipient in good faith, and so I am concerned about the notion of holding back a distribution when we don't have a formal claim from NYRA.
I think that's the telling point, that NYRA did pay us the money, and when they told and notified us and began paying us the lower amount, even at that time, they did not ask for payback. And the complete year of 2012 has come to an end. Never in that time period did they ask for payback.
And by law, as a conduit agency, we're mandated to distribute the money that we receive.
Okay, so that, if you vote that that should also be paid out, that gives us some more money towards the holdback. And there's an adjustment to personal enrichment too that could make an additional amount of money available.
Harry or Howard, you got any closing statements on this, or would you like to hear from our accountant on this? Anybody who is sitting here? I think you can go ahead and speak.
I can clarify first. The fund is responsible for the financial statement presentation, including the notes. The outside auditors do not write those. We do and present them to them. If we have an outstanding issue and there's a potential for a claim on fund's assets, the fund must decide if it is likely to occur and it is estimatable, then it must be recorded as a liability on the books. If it is only possible to occur and estimatable, then we must disclose it in the notes to the financial statements.
But not create a reserve.
Not create a reserve. And what I am hearing the board say is that this is a situation where it is possible that this claim could occur, and we should simply disclose it in the notes to the financial statements.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying that for us. So I think we can got a motion now from the floor on this issue.
Before we do, Kyle, you satisfied with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Definitely.
Well, I don't know that we need
a motion.
Yeah, I don't know
the
motion.
I don't know that you need a motion as much as just that the motion would be what, to provide disclosure?
Okay. Yeah. All right. To footnote.
Yes. Yeah. Footnote.
Fine. Okay.
So moved.
All right. John Graziano's made the motion. Bill Wilmot has seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Does everybody understand the motion? I should say we already voted on this a little backwards here. You hear us?
Harry?
Harry?
Yes.
You heard that, right?
I heard it. If I understand it, it's to the effect that since it's possible that a claim could occur, it should be mentioned in a footnote. Is that what I've...
That's right.
That's correct.
That's what it is.
And that's what the accounting standard is for this. Is that...
Yes, that's the accounting standard.
Well, I think if that's it, then that's what should be done, but I'm not so sure we need a motion.
Okay. Then...
Our outside auditors, I'm sure, want to point this out to us, I would expect that.
I think the point, Harry, was that the disclosures are done by the fund, not by the outside auditors.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll allow that to have our the fund. We'll note that as in a footnote.
Yeah.
To our outside auditors. That's what the motion was, without a reserve being set aside for that. Okay?
I'll vote for that motion then.
Everybody's all set on that? So that one's passed and taken care of. Anything else under awards or anything like that?
I think there's a few items that we should probably discuss. The rates for 2013, the award rates, and actually that 10% withholding, I think we should come to some understanding financially and where we're going with that.
That's that what we just meant was that one issue potentially affecting the withholding. So now there's another $154,000 that can go to paying out the withholding. Also, in August, this board voted for a person enrichment to Finger Lakes and Niagara for 2012, increasing it by $416,667 to a total of $1,916,667. Of this total amount that's been recorded as expense in 2012, all but $100,000 has been paid. That 100 grand represents a 5.22% holdback that we did approaching the end of the year because we wanted to see what year-end figures were. And the people from the Finger Lakes are here. So I thought that you might do a board resolution to lower that payment from $416,667 to $316,667. That way there's another $100,000 available for holdback. And maybe the Finger Lakes want to weigh in on that, but I think they're in good stead.
Let's wait on the Finger Lakes thing until we get to new business, if that's okay with you. All right, Howard? Yeah. On the other thing, let's get the 10% hold back out of the way. So we need a motion to move forward.
This is part of it. This would free up another $100,000 for the holdback by reducing the payment of purse enrichment by 100 grand.
Jeff?
Where do we financially stand to pay the 10% holdback? I mean, do we have enough money to do so? I think the board needs to have a financial understanding of where we are for last year.
Tracy, do you want me to speak to this?
We're just getting another 154,000. This will give us another 100,000, so that's another 250. What would that bring us up to, Jean?
Right now, we would be at $1,067,000 to pay for a 10% to cover $1,334,000 potential level, 10% quota that we have. And I can't give you a percent since we just changed the dealing with $154,000 to $100,000. But we're above 70% of the payment, but we
excuse
don't
me,
have
you didn't
enough.
Mean to not. Oh yeah, okay, didn't mean to not. But
so we don't have enough for the entire 10% holdback.
And that doesn't include this $100,000 bond.
That
not
does
yet.
Include,
does not.
It includes not paying that.
All right, so you're at 70% of the holdback number right now, approximately.
That's if we get the $100,000 from
correct.
The purse enrichment. So you would need to amend the $416,000 payment lower to $316,000 of purse enrichment for that. And then we get the other $100,000 that we can use for the paying out of the withholding.
Can we ask what's going on?
Yeah. What's happening here, Harry, is that we have to decide if we are going to pay the 10% holdout at 70%. We can pay it at 70% if we get the money not allocated or not paid for the breeder for the incentive.
Purse enrichment.
And for this other money that was mentioned in the previous discussion, $154,000. That would bring us within roughly 70% of the whole holdback, and Tracy was just reiterating that. So the best numbers that we have right now, I guess, say that we have 70%, or we right at this point in time, we can pay out the holdback at 70%. Is that?
Please remember, we're just mid-January, and these are preliminary figures. We've got all our main journal entries in, but we're still reconciling accounts, and our revenue will still still change.
But it'd be very, they're very small changes. When people adjust payments to us from what they told us, I mean, the most would be maybe $3,000. Is that the biggest difference that we've seen in the whole year?
Hopefully there will be small changes.
Small change, so it'd be roughly 70, it could be 71%.
All right, so at this point then, we feel confident that we've got 70% of the holdback can be paid out at this point. So I think all we have to do is approve that be paid out. If there's additional money, then Tracy and our accounting people will tell us so, and that can be added into the supplemental payment, which comes out.
Not supplemental payment. There'll be no supplemental, sorry. This is for the withholding payout.
The withholding payout, that can be added to that. So.
Do we need to discuss the Finger Lakes?
I guess.
Can I just be here for a second?
We got Dave Brown from Finger Lakes here.
You people, this whole board has been very generous.
Can you speak near my?
To Finger Lakes, you wouldn't need to come up here. You've responded to us. It's fine with us if you hold back that money and use it to pay towards your supplement or whatever your 10%.
The holdback.
Yeah, it's fine with us. I mean, you've been very good to us, and that's fine with us.
So that was Dave Brown from Finger Lakes, who was, if you couldn't hear it, Howard and Harry. You couldn't. He said, what he said was that it's fine with Finger Lakes HPBA to, that we don't pay that money to them, and that, you know, we can use it for our
program. Okay, I understand.
Okay,
so, Joe,
so that gives us the extra $250,000 we're talking about.
I'd like to make a motion then, if this makes sense, that fund pays back the withholding to the fullest extent that it can for 2012, based on your final analysis of our financial situation, whether that be 70% or from that point going forward. Does that make sense?
It does.
To the fullest extent.
There's a second by John Graziani on that motion. So I'd call for discussion at all.
One question on it. When would you imagine that you wonderful women who have cleaned our books up would be able to pull the trigger and the checks would go out?
This is Christine Frucci. Can you come speak closer to the mic?
Come up here, please speak.
And the gentleman on the phone needs you to speak up.
This would not happen until after the books have been audited by Toski, because part of their function is to confirm and book or propose any adjustments to the numbers. So we couldn't possibly do it until that. And I think that's something like mid-March.
They usually come the second week in March.
Right.
And we file with the state our final numbers March 31st.
Right. So that having been said, I do want to make a caution that in the past, we've always been used to a supplemental payment and the withholding. Because of the loss situation this year, there's only the withholding that we're talking about.
Okay. So if that's happening in March, perhaps we can pass this motion, obviously, before, which will allow the fund to notify people of some extent that they're going to receive an expected percentage of that, which might make sense. Otherwise, it's just we're going to have to wait until March to do so, but I guess it's
well, if you want to know, if you want every dollar and every penny to be sworn off on, you know, an audited figure, then you do have to wait until Toski performs its audit in March. So it would be April before we would be able to pay out the withhold.
Which is later than last year.
Later.
That's later. Last year we did it without having audited figures. I mean, I think our figures will be good enough. I mean, the impact could be you could be off a little tiny bit from what the audited figures turn out to be.
Well, we've always done that in the past that way. We've always paid it based on.
We weren't as scrupulously careful in the past.
I don't know what that means.
I think you're better off waiting.
I think that the motion on the table was, we just voted on it, was that we would pay up to the maximum amount of money that we have available at the time they can be paid out. There's no mention of a date in the motion. It just authorizes the fund personnel to pay out at the amount that we have money for.
This is Harry just asking, are there other agenda items to be discussed, or is this the last one?
No, we've got a couple other things. Harry, sorry to bother you. Sorry to keep you so long, but we do have a couple other things. So that, anyway, let's, are we all clear on that? We're gonna
yes.
pay them out at 70% when and if we have that money.
Well, the utmost percent, every penny available.
Every penny available.
Is there a check that's going out in February, or checks that go out in February or no?
Yes.
Six. There are.
We already sent out six periods. Sorry, no, we already sent them out. We sent them out in January.
That's right.
We had been requested, actually, when Bill met Christine Frucci at the awards dinner that the NYTV held, he said that people would like to get their checks quicker. So she made that her mission, and mission accomplished.
All right.
So I was just going to say the next check period won't be until March.
Yes.
Right.
We'll do it in March. Usually, they used to wait till April.
Yeah.
And
this is what I'm getting at. My point is that timing might be right around the same time that your audit is done, which you'll be able to notify people of exactly what they received. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Well, we don't have to wait for the audit to be done to pay out the first period of 2013. We'll just do as usual to pay that out. So that will happen in March. Staff-wise, it's going to be a little complicated because Gene is still going to be working with the auditors in the office on those, making those audited financial statements and answering questions. But Christine has basically been running shotgun and getting the awards out.
Yeah, my point is that we can notify them when they receive their March check of what's happening.
Right, they'll be getting, yes.
That's exactly.
Yes.
So I'm going to move forward with the motion
to
the fund to pay the fullest extent possible for 2012 based on the final financial numbers that we get through from the office.
That was the motion we had on the table. It was seconded by John before. I asked for a vote on it again. Anyone change their opinion on this?
Aye.
Anybody's in favor of that? No opposed. Harry and Howard, you heard that? The motion is that the fund pay out the awards, or pay out the holdback money at the maximum they have money available when it becomes available. Okay?
I'm sorry, Joe, I missed part of that.
The motion was that the fund will pay back the withholding to all the recipients at the fullest extent possible based upon the financial information that becomes available and that they'll pay it out once that financial information is completed and provided to the fund.
Now, when will that be paid out?
Probably April.
In April, okay.
Okay. So the regular awards will go out at the regular time. The first period awards will go out at, at the regular time.
Okay.
The other item I had was the awards for 2013, the award rates.
Before we go there, we need a motion to change the person enrichment allotment from 416 to 316.
So moved.
Okay.
I second
that. The motion is that we change the person allotment money. So made by John and approved by Jeff. A vote on that.
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
No. Okay, that one's done. Now, Jeff, you had something else you wanted to bring up?
The award rate for 2013. When the fund board approved the 2013 budget, we didn't approve the award rate. Is that true?
That's correct.
We did not.
Okay.
So I'd like to see us move forward with the appropriate rate for this year and get a motion on the floor
So your motion is that the rates stay the same as those initiated in 2012?
I would ask a question, again, it's come back to the financials, but, you know, forecast-wise, if we run forecast for this year, just based on...
Our budget is essentially the same for revenue as it was last year. However, the budgeting process did not take into account this lower payment by NYRA, which is about $600,000 a year. So it could run a little bit, well...
How do you see it being at $600,000 a year?
Well, if in the first quarter, the overpayment to us was $154,000.
Yeah.
If you take that times four times.
But since then, since they started paying us what they consider to be the proper amount in the rest of the year, that was about $130,000, right?
Well, but our budgeting was based on the monies we received in the prior year, and that would have included the overpayment amount.
Okay.
So I'm just estimating that it would be roughly $600,000 that our budget would have included.
Right.
So for NYRA handle, you're expecting, I'm staring at the 13 budget that we did in summer. You're saying that there's $600,000 less from NYRA that we expect to receive that was not calculated in the budget?
Correct.
Okay, and I did a little homework this week and ran some figures here based, and I wanted to share with the board about NYRA's VLT revenue. The average wing per machine for the entire calendar year 2012 was $371. Right? And the last 2 months of payments from Resorts World.
I'm not hearing any of this. I don't know about Howard.
I'm not either.
Jeff is going to come and sit next to the phone.
So I ran numbers from Resorts World's casinos payments to the fund for the VLT machines. And the figures that I came up with were actually published by the lottery. So they're actuals. And the machines, on average, for the entire calendar year, did $371 per machine. They have 5,000 machines. And the last 2 months of 2012, the rates that the fund receives was increased from 1% to 1.25%. Okay? And that's the way that the legislation was written, and that's what's supposed to happen. So for the last 2 months of this past year, the fund's actually receiving 0.25% more in VLT revenue than it did the beginning year of the year.
Right.
Well, that's going to happen all of 2013. And if you, the point of this is if you use that same average per win per machine based on this first year's experience of $371, and you apply the 1.25%, the revenue to the fund looks like it's going to be about $8.4 million, which is higher than what we have in the budget. I just want to, I'm just putting this for notation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something else to consider when we're considering some declines as well.
When we built the budget, we did consider that the rate had increased to 1.25. However, there are some issues. As I think you took the last part of the year, and I noticed that revenue is particularly high over the holidays. So I don't know if that might skew your analysis.
No, that's an average based on every single month.
For the whole year?
For the last year, for the whole year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
with Hurricane Sandy.
With Sandy and everyone else. So my point is that our revenue from...
We should have more.
My only point is that we potentially...
And it'll make up for the lesser amount from NYRA.
It could. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, it's within the 10% anyways.
Right.
It's going to certainly put us within the range of the holdback. So that shouldn't be a problem to approve the award payments at the same level that we had them last year with the 10% holdback.
Yeah, I mean, my only question would be, and I don't think we can answer it in this meeting, unfortunately, is what our expectations are for awards that are going to be earned. Because if you look at the last few months' financials that we've had for the fund, the amount that the fund is paying out in awards has gone through the roof. And
that's a good thing.
It is a good
thing. A lot of it is based on the fact that NYRA wrote more races for New York Breds in 2012. They wrote 627 races last year. Races restricted only to New York Breds. And PJ tells me that there were $34 million out there solely for New York breads to run for. So that's why there's been such a drain on the awards, on the revenue by awards, but it's a good thing.
Well, that's been the case for several years, and it's going to continue to be the case into the foreseeable future, I would say. But if we got this 0.25% more coming from the VLT revenue, which is the growth area here, we're certainly well positioned to handle that income. And if it changes, that's why we have the 10% in there. That's why it was designed to be in there. So as long as everybody's clear on that we have that amount of money to spend, I don't see any reason why we can't move forward on this. And
could I just ask a question, stepping back a bit to 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Hold the thoughts on the 13 discussion we just had. We just agreed a few minutes ago that we were going to pay out probably in April the full amount we have available, which would approach the 30 and 15%. That's all breeders' awards. What about owner and stallion in terms of holdback? That hasn't been addressed. Is there holdback, and where are we on those numbers, if there is any?
$1.3 million, that's all.
That's everything.
Yes, holdback on everything.
Okay, thank you.
We were saying breeders' awards and really receive awards.
All awards.
So that's owner,
all
stallion, awards.
There's
breeder.
A 10% yes. On all awards.
I would like to make the comment that starting in October of this year, we were at probably a break-even situation. The fact that we wound up at a loss, eliminating any supplemental, maybe gives rise to considering increasing the 10% to maybe 15% holdback.
I'm not in favor of that, because I think that's counterproductive, and I don't think it's necessary. We just talked about a 25% increase, a 0.25% increase in VLT revenue, and I think you'd be far better dealing with that with the 10% later on. I see nothing to gain by taking a bigger holdback right now.
I agree. I think that at the end of the day, the fund board, to make some future decisions based on when they arise, we should probably get a reset projection of what financials are going to be for this next year. Because right now, it's kind of like shooting in the dark with where we're at and where we're going. Do you agree with that?
Okay. Then we've already voted on the motion to hold back. We're set on that. We're going to pay it out. The awards levels are going to be the same as they were last year. Jeff made that motion. And the award levels will be advertised at the same rate. That'll be...
We didn't vote on that.
Oh, we need a vote on that one. I'm sorry. Jeff made the motion. I need a second. John seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Yeah, all opposed? None. Motion passes. So the award levels will be published at the same rates as they were last year with the 10% holdback. Okay, item 7 is a request for spending with NYI for promotion on TV, print, and web. This is Tracy Quick.
Well, very quickly, I think we need to postpone it because I don't like the price I got from Naira. I don't want to pay that much. It will be too much of a strain on my TV budget. And the blood horse hasn't gotten back to me yet with a plan of spending for the whole year. So I think we should postpone that. But what I do need... is some direction from the board, which we didn't get at the last meeting when we were discussing how we treat registry fees. And I want to know, you know, some direction from the board. Do you want us for 2012 to continue as we had in the past and leave the discussion for whether we change where we place the registry fees in terms of treating it as distributable revenue in 2013 and leave that for your new board when it gets the new members? And for now, should we just leave 2012 alone, or do you want us to change? In the last meeting, Chairman Sabini had said, you don't have to make a decision now. But we have to make a decision very soon because we have a filing January 31st with the state.
That was the discussion. I'm going to make a motion that it be treated as distributable.
Make a motion what?
That be treated as distributable awards revenue.
John Graziano made a motion to treat the registry fees and the web ad income as distributable revenue retroactively to 2012. Is that what you're saying?
Retroactively or
proactively? Retroactively or proactive, or forward to 2013? So forward.
For 2013?
Okay, for 2013.
Seconded.
Second by Bill Wilmot. Call for a vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carries. Okay, and Tracy wanted to cancel the other part of her negotiation thing on that, under that item. Under new business, we got fund staffing requirements. Reiterate that breeders must allow registry compliance teams onto their property. That's a no-brainer. Let's get that one done quick.
So moved.
Seconded by Ed. All in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None.
Maybe the same committee could talk with us about discussion of development of a policy on time limits for cashing award checks. We want to put on the checks that they have to, they're only good for 6 months, but we have people sometimes calling us 2 years later about checks that they found in a drawer.
I think if you do that, you should do it prospectively.
Okay.
And it should be on the registration form that they understand that when they're registering, if they receive a check and they fail to cash it in a timely manner, that
we got to tell them what the timely manner is. That's for sure.
Clearly, yeah, I agree with that. But I think it needs to be done prospectively, and not after the fact.
So that's our attorney's view of that matter. So that's going to be going forward, and this doesn't change anything from last year. I don't know if we're going to need more guidance on that, Tracy, or not.
Well, what would be timely manner? I mean, if you give someone's, you know, a full like 12 months after, no?
I think banks only pay, we'll honor a check for 6 months, won't they? Let's make it 6 months. That's pretty simple. Okay.
But then if they find their check, does that mean they've lost out on their chance to get the award? You know, if they wait more than the 6 months, they haven't cashed the check. Do we reissue a new check, or do we say, no, you had 6 months to cash it and you haven't cashed it?
What would be the harm of putting like 60 days, which a lot of firms have?
60 to 90 days.
Force them to comply. Force them to cash a check.
I think all we need to do is practice is know to make sure we notify people that this is the policy.
You notify them that they have 6 months within which to cash this award, and if they don't cash it in a timely manner, they will have surrendered the award. Well, I think you're in good shape. If you do it retroactively, if you do it without putting them on that notice, then you're going to have a problem.
All right.
Okay. Well, I don't want to overcomplicate this, but why don't we do it as 90 days? Because we have to pay that money out so that it gets surrendered after 90 days. The whole, then it can be added in supplemental or the whole back. So next year?
Because a bank will still cash a check for 6 months.
Would that simplify it for county?
I would say 6 months because the bank will still honor a check for 6 month period. And we have had the bank honor it for 8 months.
Even if you're right out there, not only for 60 days or something?
Right now we have honor void after 6 months.
Well, if you put void after 60 days and then you can pay it out in the withholding or distribution, you know, the supplemental at the end of the year.
I think banks also, just as a standard practice, use a 6 month cutoff. So we could have trouble with our bank honoring the check even if it says void.
Yeah, I think we should follow the financial institution's practice.
I think it's the sense of the board here that we go to 6 months on that, and that that we post that on the future awards.
One further question before we go to vote on this. Kyle, you said that it should be on the registration application.
Well, let me rephrase that, because that's a good point. Because you could be, I think the point is you need to put people on notice, okay? And it may not necessarily be just on the registration. It, as long as you put people on notice, so it would be not necessarily limited to, it should be on the registration form, but it should also go on when you provide awards, you send a little statement.
That memo.
It should be on the memo.
Yeah.
Okay. That way you're doing your notice requirement.
So there's two things.
Yeah.
Basically, the memo that goes out with the checks and on the registration form.
Yeah, that's a good catch.
Thank you.
So I don't think we need a, that's a housekeeping thing. I don't think we needed a, to vote on that at all. It's a fund policy. Yeah. We've got the people from Finger Lakes here. I don't know if they just came down to listen to us chat. It was a long way if they did. Dave?
No, we actually came down to thank you for all that you've done for us in the past year. And
we're going to have you start over, Dave, because our guests on the phone.
We really came here to thank you for what you did for us this year. It made a big difference in our racing program, and we appreciate it, and we do, and that's what we're here to do. And also, I wanted to say thank you to Jeff, because he organized our alliance, and he was the one that oversaw that whole project, and he did a wonderful job. So I thought that should go on the record as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. I think we appreciate that. So, if there's no other new business, does anybody have anything they want to bring up?
I have one item that I guess it's just going to be a topic of discussion for new for a future day of new business, is the situation where the fund down the road, in thinking about this uncashed checks and different accounts that the fund has where we might not be utilizing money that's being held out there. For example, you know, with Paragala's situation, but that's a little bit different. But in terms of uncashed checks, I'd like to see maybe if Kyle can look into the ability of what the fund can do with that revenue or money down the road if we do run into a situation where there's money that isn't being distributed that could potentially be used in you know, horse retirement or whatnot, different types of good policies for the fund. I just wanted to wonder if we can get a legal opinion on what we could do down the road if we do run into a situation.
We can ask Kyle about that, sir, that we're asking you to give us an opinion at the next meeting on what we can do with that money, how we have to classify it, if it's actual award money or if it's money that can be set aside from the award program. What the legality of it is. I know the sense of the board from talking about this over the last 2 years is that they would like to be able to fund more horse rescue and horse retirement programs. But we've always run into a legal issue on this thing, which seems crazy, but we have. So we're gonna try to resolve this in 2013 once and for all and have a policy going forward on that. I think that's a good thing for the fund to do.
As a point of interest for everybody here, having spoken with Tracy on this topic, the fund does provide fairly small amounts of money to several equine welfare organizations, and we currently characterize it as promotion, which is okay. But if we wanted to get into sizable amounts of money, that could be a problem, and that's why we need Kyle to look at it.
Joe, as a suggestion, if board members have got any issues they want to raise under new business, to try and please notify Tracy in advance so it could be an item on an agenda.
I think that's a good idea, Howard. I think that, you know, let's just make it fund policy that Tracy gets a 10-day heads up on anything anybody wants to bring up under new business. And that's not going to limit it from not happening. But let's try to eliminate lengthy discussions under new business in the future.
Exactly.
Okay?
I just want to mention, as Bill mentioned, so you know the good that you have done out in the community is you sponsored $2,500 at the Finger Lakes Thoroughbred Adoption Program. About $2,000 to Rerun, which retrains racehorses. We've sponsored a horse show in classes in Saratoga and a Renaissance horse show that was all thoroughbred in Glenville in Albany County. We sponsored a thoroughbred horse show that were off-track thoroughbreds, and that money also went to raise money for Akindale Thoroughbred Rescue. So probably about $12,000 in the last year through promotional spend. To be proper, we had to make sure we were getting some promotional consideration in exchange for the sponsorship. So there are people out in the horse communities that know that the fund believe strongly in helping thoroughbreds, showing respect to thoroughbreds, and supporting their use in second careers.
Okay, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved by John, seconded by Ed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No one opposed.
Unanimous.